Obviously, interest rates have gone up quite a bit, you know, since 2021, and it's made a big difference in the way people are lending today. The pie has definitely gotten smaller. Of all construction lending is much smaller than it was in 2021. However, the number of participants in the senior construction lending space has also decreased quite a bit because you do not have very many regional banks involved in construction lending now because they have had so many issues, especially all the regionals have had many difficulties with regulatory environment, capital requirements, and liquidity requirements.
Good morning and welcome to Deconstruct, a podcast by The Real Deal. I'm Isabella Farr.
I'm Susanna Cavanaugh. It's Monday. It's April Fool's Day. We don't have any pranks for you. We have an episode, though, on what in the world is happening with construction financing. And I guess, you know, some developers might feel like they're getting pranked. It's kind of a stretch.
No, I see it. We're making it work. Today, we're chatting with Kennedy Wilson's head of debt investment, Thomas Weitzel. Kennedy Wilson is based in LA, and it likes to tout that it's one of the only active construction lenders in the market right now. And Thomas joined Kennedy Wilson from PacWest, a bank that went through, which you'll hear about. But Thomas really gets into how Kennedy Wilson is choosing which projects to lend on and how it benefits from being a private lender. Just last week alone, I wrote about how Kennedy Wilson provided a roughly $160 million construction loan that was for a project in Long Beach, and they provided another $95 million construction loan for a project in Santa Clarita. So if you're a developer, Kennedy Wilson should probably be on your radar.
They are lending. Okay, but first, the news. I'm going to go new Meridian CEO.
Right. So Meridian, for background, was blacklisted by agency lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That happened after a few of its brokers allegedly inflated sales prices on properties so borrowers could get larger mortgages. NYCB is tied in with some of those allegations there.
Yeah, that's a good sum up. So the firm brought in Brian Brooks as the new CEO. He previously served as Fannie Mae's general counsel, and he was also acting comptroller of the currency under Steve Mnuchin, who is the former Treasury Secretary. And it's maybe worth noting, since we touched on NYCB, that Mnuchin led that billion-dollar lifeline equity infusion for NYCB a few weeks ago.
So is Brooks being tasked with shoring up compliance issues? Is that what his goal is?
Yeah, in part, building compliance risk infrastructure is what Bloomberg first reported, but that could take a year. And in the meantime, the Fannie Freddie ban really is a big blow for Meridian. Meridian was the agency lender's biggest broker for the past 7 years. That's according to the Commercial Observer.
I'm going to pivot to a big deal. The highest priced home in Palm Beach, Florida, went into contract last week, and the asking was $187.5 million.
Tell us about the property.
So it's 10 Tarpon Isle. Deconstruct, with the help of our South Florida Bureau Chief, Catherine Kalergis, did a walkthrough of the property last year. Spec home developer Todd Michael Glazer is the seller, but it's a sprawling 11-bedroom, 15-bathroom estate on its own little island. There's a lighted tennis court, two private docks, a south-facing pool, plus an east-facing pool, a sauna, a steam room. Basically, you name the amenity, and it has it. Again, listen to that episode. It's a really fun walkthrough. You can physically hear the echoes of the property walking through it. Back to the deal. The buyer and sale price have yet to be revealed, so it'll be interesting to see whether it actually sold for that $187.5 million price tag.
Okay, so tell us about this Brookfield sale of 777 Tower. They're coming out of that still pretty deep in the red, right?
Yeah, I've been waiting on the sale for a while, and a couple of sources of mine have been watching it too to see just how much it was going to sell for. But Brookfield sold this tower that really honestly makes up part of LA skyline, 777 South Figueroa. Brookfield sold it for $145 million, or about $145 a square foot. And Brookfield had about $319 million in debt on the property, which it defaulted on last year. So a big loss for the lender there and a signal that Brookfield was willing to walk away at this price. It's also interesting, the buyer was Consus Asset Management. They're based out of South Korea. It's unclear yet whether they used any debt to buy the property or if it's technically a deed in lieu of foreclosure, relieving Brookfield of some of the debt. I'm very interested to see how that deal is structured. And then do you want to talk about Charles Cohen?
So billionaire Charles Cohen defaulted on about $500 million in debt secured by this grab bag of different asset classes that are spread across the country. Fortress is the lender there, and a spokesperson for Fortress declined to comment on the piece, but it is known as a private lender who will get aggressive when needed.
And this isn't Cohen's first default, though, or delinquency, right?
So it's not his first delinquency. It may be his first default. It's the first default that I've seen. But, you know, rounding out last fall, he was delinquent on $600 million some dollars in CMBS debt tied to a bunch of office buildings in New York. I checked back in on those. He managed to get a couple up to date, but one, 750 Lex, which is also where the Cohen brothers' office is, that went to special servicing in November. There's also a WeWork in there, and that WeWork quit paying rent in October, but it has yet to reject its lease, but that serves a hit to revenue.
So how much is delinquent in total now?
$996 million. And I'll mention that this Fortress delinquency default stands out because three pieces of the collateral were movie theaters. One is actually a Philly theater that I really love, the Ritz Five. Cohen is truly a film guy at heart. He called office ownership his day job in a Variety article from 2018. So the fact that he's running into trouble in these cinemas, which are typically smaller indie theaters, some are really iconic, like the Nickelodeon in Santa Cruz. Alfred Hitchcock used to go there. So the trouble with those sort of speaks to the extent of this distress. It's rippling into his passion project.
Okay, let's leave the news there and we'll move on to Thomas Weitzel.
Yeah, my name is Tom Weitzel and I am head of lending at Kennedy Wilson. We do primarily construction lending throughout the United States. Our group came over from a regional bank. We were at Pacific Western Bank, and we moved over here about 7-8 months ago over to Kennedy Wilson. So we were under a bank charter and also regulated by the banks. In 2021, rates were super low. Everything was very aggressive, and we were able to do quite a bit of business. And then we stopped lending about halfway through the year just because we saw the market get pretty frothy. And rates were getting too low, and we didn't feel like we were getting paid for the risk. And then the bank had some issues, and so there was kind of a distressed bank sale, and we sold our portfolio, and then the whole team came over to Kennedy Wilson. And Kennedy Wilson is obviously, it's not a bank, so that makes it much easier to deal with. Our money comes primarily from a casualty insurance company, so we have different capital, and the capital's a little bit more flexible and easier to deal with. Obviously, interest rates have gone up quite a bit, you know, since 2021, and it's made a big difference in the way people are lending today. The pie has definitely gotten smaller. Of all construction lending, is much smaller than it was in 2021. However, the number of participants in the senior construction lending space has also decreased quite a bit, because you do not have very many regional banks involved in construction lending now because they have had so many issues, especially all the regionals have had many difficulties with regulatory environment, capital requirements, and liquidity requirements.
You're one of the few construction lenders, and Bill McMorrow, Kennedy Wilson CEO, said this on an earnings call last year, that Kennedy Wilson is really one of the only active construction lenders out there. Can you talk about the types of asset classes that you're lending on right now?
Sure. We're extremely active right now, and primarily what we're focused on is multifamily. It's the safest product out there, and there's still a need for multifamily. So the multifamily that we're doing is, you know, it could be garden style, it could be mid-rise, or it could be even high-rise multifamily. For rent, and we're also doing some condos and condominium projects in different parts of the country, in certain markets. We also are doing quite a bit of student housing. It's one of our favorite product types, is student housing. And we're doing also build for rent, which has become a very popular product type here in the last couple of years.
There was a recent announcement that Kennedy Wilson is providing construction financing on a office to residential project. Can you talk a little bit? There aren't that many people there are not a lot of lenders out there that are comfortable kind of moving forward with financing office to residential yet.
Sure. I'll just tell you in general, big picture, office to, the idea that office to conversion to multifamily is going to save the world is it's not real. It's not going to happen. There are very select few buildings that actually can work for to be converted into multifamily. And it's usually the footprint. You got to look at the footprint and the depth of the office building. And then also you have to look at the window lines and all those type of things. And then if you have historic buildings, you have other issues as well. So they're extremely difficult to do. And we have done five of them all together in the last probably 5 years. And we're confident with the ones we have because we have very strong sponsors who have actually done business before, have actually had experience doing this before, or been involved in one somehow tangentially in converting a office to a multifamily project. And then also we take a real deep dive into who the contractor is and the budget. You're going to have cost overruns. There's no question about it. You're going to run into so many issues. The ironic thing is we've done three deals in Virginia relatively recently. We just closed on one in Old Town, just north of Old Town, Alexandria. And it's right on the water. It's called Tide Locks. And it was basically three buildings, office buildings, that were vacant. And it already had parking underneath, so that's nice. And then, the floor plates of them, we looked at the floor plates, walked the floor plates with the borrower, and realized that these properties or these particular office buildings worked very, very well for the layout for multifamily units. Many times what you end up having is you have too deep of a bay depth. And so you have a window line and then you have this long bowling alley type unit. Here, the shapes of the building made it so that there's much more flexibility, a lot more window line and many more of the units. So that worked out very well. And then the idea here too, on this particular one, is that we were adding on five stories on top of the three buildings to add more units. And then if you think about that, once you get up on top of the buildings, those units are much easier to, you can make them any way you want, right? Because you have they're all brand new. So you can change your floor plans a little bit. But these ones really worked out very well. You're looking at all kinds of issues when you deal with the conversions. Trying to line up, water lines and all that from units is not that easy to do many times. So there's just a lot of construction issues. And like I said, you're going to run into problems and cost overruns many times. So you have to be really prepared for that. We did another deal in Alexandria probably 5 years ago. We started it and it finished like 3 years ago. And it was 200 Stovall is the address. And it was just a rectangular, it was 16-story office building that worked out very nice. It was a little deep, quite honestly, in the depths, but in the middle, what we did is the borrower was pretty smart. What they did is made that into storage space in the center portion of the building. And we also did one in Falls Church too. And again, all these borrowers were very experienced, sophisticated borrowers, construction people that knew how to deal with these type of issues. And we just had to work with them as they had problems, which came up, quite often, quite honestly.
It sounds like you have to be a lot more selective with these sorts of projects.
Definitely. We see so many of these ideas. Then you look at them, it's like the first thing you look at is the depth and see if it works and makes sense. And then the experience of the borrower, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's a tougher funnel for the deal to get through, to be honest with you.
Can you talk a little bit about Kennedy Wilson's thought process and how it evaluates which projects to lend on?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, what we look at is, you know, the first thing and one of the biggest reasons why there's fewer deals out there, one of the biggest reasons anyway, is that there's less LP money, limited partners out there. It's tougher to get that money right now. So when you do have a borrower that has that lined up, you know you have a great borrower because it's very, very, you know, just kind of a selective process. The absolute top developers, sponsors with very deep pockets are the ones that are going to get the projects done. And if you think about it right now, we like to look at those deals. You know, the borrowers have strong reputation. They've done this before. They have their equity lined up. And then we can fill the gap with our senior position and maybe a mezzanine lender behind us. And it's I actually look at these type of deals as you're having a better quality borrower, a better quality project, because these are the only ones that are going to get done, because the LP money that's come in is basically already done the due diligence in some ways to make sure that this is going to be a very good, strong project, right? So then you're able to go after those deals and see if you can win those deals. So I like those a lot. One of the reasons also in New York, in New York City anyway, why there's very little building right now on multifamily is that the 421A tax incentive has gone away. New York, everyone kind of believes in the next year or so, we'll have to bring in renew 421A or some 421B or whatever it would be, something similar, make some tax abatements, real estate tax abatements, so it's affordable to build. We have one deal right now in Brooklyn that we are in the middle of closing that still has the last bit of like one of the last 421A projects being done. I mean, in my mind right now, like I said, the pie has shrunk, you know, quite a bit on the number of deals and the size of the deals, the number of transactions that are out there, but there's fewer lenders out there. And also the quality of the deals that are getting done are going to be the best projects out there by far. And when they get built, since there's fewer being built, they're going to be the best in the market when they are completed.
I wanted to talk about financing office construction right now. Is this something that Kennedy Wilson would consider doing?
It would be a very unusual circumstance that we would do, yes. What you are seeing is a lot of people buying very, very distressed you know, office projects. And if it made sense, we would consider doing a very low, safe loan. Yeah, we're actually looking at trying to buy some distressed debt as well.
I was actually going to ask if Kennedy Wilson was being opportunistic at this time. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Absolutely. I mean, Kennedy Wilson's history has been they make the most money during the down cycles, during the RTC time. You know, Kennedy Wilson really made a name for itself and grew at that time. After the Great Recession was probably the biggest movement for Kennedy Wilson. They're absolute experts at distressed, and that's really the focus point has been at Kennedy Wilson. We are right now as a group looking at any type of distressed deals that make some sense. We're calling on banks ourselves. I mean, I think, you know, we have obviously Kennedy Wilson just bought our group, which was, you know, 40 people plus it also, but more importantly, it bought, you know, $5.7 billion worth of loans, you know, so when they buy that, they were able to do that in 4 weeks. So they put the whole team to be able to put that on there. Now they have another 40 people that are former bankers that understand banks. And so we're going after and talking to all the banks out there and other lenders to see if there's portfolios they'd be willing to sell. And we can do that in a very quiet, discreet, and professional manner with them. And if we don't, you know, make a deal, we don't make a deal. They have an opportunity to try to get something done, and they know that Kennedy Wilson will deliver. Market's tough right now. You just aren't seeing that many portfolio sales right now. And the banks have been, I thought the banks would be ready now for a sale. I actually thought that they might be done at the fourth quarter. Then I thought the end of the first quarter, we'd be seeing a bunch. Still haven't seen very many. Maybe it's going to be the end of the second quarter that we start seeing those.
So would Kennedy Wilson look to make mezzanine financing, preferred equity, or is kind of the bread and butter still the senior construction loan right now?
we're going to stick the bread and butter, just because it's what we know. It's something that we can be the best at. You know, one of the things that you realize in this business is that, you know, it's not a commodity at all, what we do. I mean, it's not like CMBS or, you know, maybe a home loan or even a Freddie and Fannie loan. I mean, construction lending is the opposite of a commodity. It's not about necessarily about pricing. Obviously, that's one of the important components, but it's really more about how you service the loan, how you handle the issues. You know, like I said earlier, that almost in every single deal in construction is going to have some issue. Generally speaking, there are very few loans or projects that get built exactly as planned, on time, on budget, without any hiccups. There's always going to be something that, you know, they run into. You know, developers deal with problems every single day, and a lender needs to be able to be flexible, work with them, modify the loan constantly. And that's what we do. We modify our loans over and over and over without charging borrowers, just to try to get them to the finish line and get it built. And that's why I always look at, you know, our lending, and I like our business so much, is that it's interesting from the standpoint, it's kind of like a bespoke suit. You know, you're building a loan for that particular deal that only fits that particular deal.
One thing to note about construction financing is that, you know, the ultimate goal is to get permanent financing on the property once it's stabilized, right? Can you talk a little bit about helping borrowers get to that stabilization and, you know, making it easier to get to that permanent financing?
That's a good question. One of the things that here at Kennedy Wilson, what we can do that banks can't do is that, okay, for example, you have to get the property built. And so you're going to work with them all the way through the project. They're going to be out of balance somewhere along the way. You got to help them out, move contingency around, or move some line items to another line item just to get it there and to make sure that they're on target, on time as best they can. If it goes longer, that's okay. We'll extend the loan and continue to work with the borrower to get it. The most important thing is to get it built. Once you get it, your TCO or certificate of occupancy, you're in good shape, okay? And then now it's the lease up. And so you're going to have to extend the loan. Now, many times when we were at the bank, we couldn't extend the loan without making the borrower pay us something or whatever. And that's kind of like counterintuitive, really, in my mind. So here, we're able to extend the loan to be able to help that borrower. And sometimes we have actually increased our interest reserve and increased the loan to help them get to that point where they get to stabilization. Because most of the times our borrowers have actually received rents that are higher than what we have ever underwritten. And so the value ends up being there, subject to whatever the cap rate is, obviously. We get them up to stabilization so they can do either sell the property or get it refinanced. But the ability here at Kennedy Wilson, which was a big difference than being at the bank, is that we're able to extend the loans even though they don't meet the certain hurdles that we set up at the very beginning.
Last question, you know, what do you think is most important in terms of staying competitive as a lender, especially while we're in this environment where interest rates are high?
Yeah, interest rates are definitely high. So I think what you have to do is you have to be the lender that really is a lender that is flexible, smart, and creative up front with that borrower. Like, okay, the borrower needs whatever they need to do in their particular situation. See if you can meet that need as best as possible within your own constraints to protect yourselves. But I think the most important thing is once you have the deal done, it's really working with the borrower and being as borrower friendly while at the same time protecting your interest and all that. But working with them and being reasonable about it. My job solely is to help a borrower get to the finish line, and that's, you know, to get a certificate of occupancy and get the job completed. Because then we're all in good shape once they get it completed. If it doesn't get completed, we're all in trouble, right?
Deconstruct airs every Monday on Apple, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Or you can listen at therealdeal.com. For comments on this episode or on the series, or if you have a guest or idea you'd like to pitch, feel free to reach me or Susanna at podcasts@therealdeal.com. Next week, we're talking about office loan maturities. Tune in then.